Well, we are here in the wonderful Word of God, Psalm 119, and we are working on another bank of scriptures here, verses 129 through 136. And we went over the first three verses last week and talked about verse 129, the testimonies that are wonderful, and then we talked about in verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And then verse 131, about longing and desiring and panting for the word of God. And so we're not going to repeat all of those thoughts tonight. We're going to look at verses 132, 133, and 134 this evening. And then next Sunday, we'll have to have a little pause because Brother Williams will be preaching. And then we'll pick it back up on the other side of that the next Sunday evening to finish up this group of scriptures. And then after that, we just have 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 left. So if you want to multiply that times 3, everybody quick math, all right, 15, roughly divided by 4, so about 3 months. So by about April, we should be good to go. Wouldn't that be exciting? Okay. We can stay longer. I can switch to one verse per week if you'd like. Okay, we got an amen there. Okay, that's one vote. Anybody else? Okay. Now, please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you would, please. We'll read together these eight verses, 129 through 136. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man. So will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Here in verse 132, I was kind of reminded of what David has been talking about. He oftentimes lost God in his life. You never notice that? As you read through the Psalms and maybe even in the historical books of the Kings and Chronicles and in those areas, you may have noticed that a lot of times David says, God, where are you? You know, as if God was playing hide and seek with him or something. You know, God's not doing that. You know, as we've gone through Psalm 119, David makes comments. We've mentioned before that, you know, his eyes failed for the salvation of God and he didn't, you know, where are you, God? Why aren't you here? Why aren't you taking care of my enemies? And I've been crying upon my bed all night and I've been calling out to you and you won't answer me. You know, it seems like David oftentimes kind of lost track of where God was, which is kind of funny because he's always there. He doesn't go anywhere. He doesn't leave us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So David says in this verse, he says some wonderful things in the first three verses. We talked about the change of attitude that David seemed to have. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. And the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. And then David says this. He says, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Now just for a moment, put yourself in David's shoes. And all the things that he went through and experienced in his life, which are quite a lot, right? just from the excerpts in the Bible that we've read and can read. And he says an interesting phrase. As thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. And I just ask the question, has he stopped? Now, David, I mean, really? I mean, what you've been through with the Lord, all the difficulties, all the times that he's come to your aid and rescue, and helped you. And I don't know. I was kind of torn about this. Is thinking about what David could have been thinking. Anybody ever read this verse like that before? And just thought about that? He said, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me. And listen, did David receive the mercy of God over and over again in his life? Oh, boatloads. And he says, as thou usest to do. Let me just remind you of some scriptures. David said in Psalm 25, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art God, the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy, and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they that hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. David said here in verse 132, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. And may I just say tonight, there's no uses to do with God. He does. He does. And, you know, I'm just going to have to argue with Mr. David here. You say, how could you do that? Well, I think I'll use David to argue with David. Because he knew that God does this. Oh, God had David on his radar. He's got you and me on his radar. You know, I love what the Bible says. What is man that thou art mindful of him? God is mindful of us, folks. He knows our goings. And our comings, and our uprisings, and our downsittings, and all those things. He knows our movements. Because he loves us. He's faithful to us more than we are faithful to him. God is merciful. He does look upon us. He does keep track of us. In Psalm 84, David talks about being close to God. And I've read this passage of Scripture talking about how important it is to be in church and be a part of a church. And how we ought to desire to be with God in His house and in His place. But just listen to Psalm 84 and how David puts these thoughts about God and being with God. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. So with that confidence and that kind of language, David knew that God would look upon him and be merciful unto him. Because David did love the name of God. David did love his God. And we know that David was a man after God's own heart. And in just my humble opinion, there is no as thou usest to do for God. Because he always has. And he always will. I am the Lord. I change not. In Luke chapter 9, the Bible says, and it came to pass in the next day when they were come down the hill, much people met him. And behold, the man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And he was yet a coming. The devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. Was David's faith faltering? These people that walked with Jesus, had been with Jesus. You know how many times that even I have mentioned the faithlessness of those during Jesus' ministry. How many times did he say, O ye of little faith, or no faith, or where's your faith? Quite interesting. You know, all that man would have had to have done is just believe. And God would have healed his son. He said, look upon him. Just like David said, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me. How's your faith in what God can or can't do, or will or won't do in your life? Will he be merciful as he uses to do? unto them that love thy name? He will, won't he? Do you believe he will? Do you know he will? I know someone who knew that he will. 1 Samuel chapter 1. If you'd like to turn there, you can. We have time. In verse 9, there was a woman that wanted a child. Maybe more than anything, she wanted a child. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. She was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid. Now, let's just pause there for a moment. I have no idea how Hannah felt with the 12th child on the way. But there are some who know exactly how she feels. I know folks that wanted to have children, but could not. Or God just didn't allow it to happen. But she and her travail and her difficulty, she said, God, remember me. I feel like you've forgotten me. I'm barren. I don't have a child. And I really want one. Remember me. And not forget. But will give unto thine handmaid a man child. Then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. But I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And guess what? He did. And Samuel was born, and Samuel was given back to the Lord, and look at all that he did for God in his lifetime. As David looked into his heart, he said, Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. And all I really have to say about this is that God is looking. He's waiting to be merciful. To show himself mighty in our lives. And I may submit that perhaps the problem was not with God, but with David. Just as it is in our lives. The problem's not with God. It's with us. See, we're asking God to direct his eye toward us. To see us or to be in view in sight of us. But is he in our mind? Are we looking unto him? Are we focused on him? Are our eyes turned upon him? I told you how much I get interested in the songs and singing the songs, and that hymn, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." I don't know. I try not to criticize David because he's probably a million times the man I am. But you know what? Maybe instead of asking God to look upon us, which He is, we should be focusing on looking upon Him. Let's go back to Psalm 119. Just a thought. Look at verse 133. Now, he kind of dropped into that little bit of a funk again. And then now he comes back out of it. And look what he says in verse 130. He says, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." That's more, a little more upbeat again. And asking God to simply order his steps. You know what? This is an easy one for God, right? Because God is a God of order. He likes things in order. Just look at creation. Did you know that one of the most wonderful things that I have found is as God put things in design, as He called out this and that to happen on the first day and the second day and the third day and the fourth day, that scientifically speaking, if any of those events would have been in a different order, things would not exist the way they do today. Because this was set forth so that this could take place, so that this could take place, and so that this could take place. Because God is a God of order. You know what? Creation was not stuck in a bag, shaken all up, and went, "Whoa, look at there! Planets, solar system, the atmosphere, the ground, the water, the parts of man." They just kind of all rolled out into the right places. It's called a designer God that likes things in order. Aren't you glad there's not a finger in the middle of your head going like this? I mean, it'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? Yeah. Or that your feet weren't on your hands and your hands weren't on your feet. Kind of funny, wouldn't it? Yeah. I mean, God's a God of order. And since order is something that makes things work, that's how our lives should be directed. David says, "Order my steps in thy word." Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a, yeah. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 37, just a few chapters back to the left there. I think this will do an explanation of God ordering our steps according to His word. And therefore, iniquity will not have dominion over us. Why? Because God's word is pure. God's word is truth. God's word is right and righteous and leadeth us into righteousness. Are you there in Psalm 37? Look what it says. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. And verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, Because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of an upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Are our steps ordered by the Lord? David says, order my steps in thy word. This scripture kind of gives the case for righteousness, uprightness, and evil and wickedness. Which way are you going to order yourself? According to his word? Because the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he, that's God, delighteth in his, that's the man's way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You see, as long as we order ourselves by the word of God, iniquity will not have dominion over us. Just talking about God and liking things in order, I brought to mind all the things that God put forth for his people. You just go back and read through Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's amazing all the things that God set in order for his people to be successful. If you think about the Christian life and all the things that you say, man, there's this and there's this and there's this and there's this. Yeah, but this is just the way of God. And it's okay. It's the good and right way. As I read through some of these scriptures in Exodus and Leviticus, and over again, it said things like order this thing against another and put this in order, and Aaron and his son shall order it this way. And Moses set the bread in order upon the table before the Lord. And the priest shall put the fire in the altar and put in order upon the wood which is on the fire, which is upon the altar. And all these things, the candlesticks and the tenons and the boards and the things, different things of the tabernacle and all the things that are done, they were all in order according to the word of God and the command of the Lord. And it was all done before the Lord in order. There was a way to do it, a way to put it, a way to place it, a way to set it, a way to bring it, a way to eat it, a way to put it away. It was all done in order. One of my favorite verses I share with the in my college classes for teachers is, let all things be done decently and in order. God's a God of order. You know who's in charge of disorder? Yeah, not the guy you want to serve. I'll tell you that. You know, order's not so bad. It's actually quite good. Order, David says, my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Go back to Psalm 119. We'll finish up tonight. Look at verse 134. So far, look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. And now David says, in verse 134, deliver me from the oppression of man. So will I keep thy precepts. And here I just want to just kind of encourage you and bring to mind that God is our deliverer. He is. Oftentimes, David had that Peter syndrome. You know what that is? Saying, hey, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come out upon the water. Okay. Come on, Peter. Yeah. Hey, this is kind of cool. Oh, wait. David says, deliver me from the oppression of man. Let me ask you a quick time out. Peter, you got your eyes focused on Jesus. What can the waves and wind do to you? It's Jesus. David, the deliverer, the strong tower, the mighty fortress, the God that has taken care of you and all these things. What is the oppression of man compared to that? Nothing. Again, I am very careful to criticize these men. But come on, folks. I mean, Peter, I mean, he should just, hey, Jesus, hello, let's go back to the boat. Because it's Jesus. And he was walking on water, and he let the winds and the waves and those circumstances almost drown him. And how many times had David been delivered? How many times had David been cared for? How many times did God come to his rescue? I was just talking with somebody about this earlier. The kid went on the battlefield with a sling and five stones and a staff and faced a giant. In the name of God. And then he cut off his head. Yeah. Drip, 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 drip. You know, I mean, come on. Deliver me from the oppression of man. So not necessary. What is the oppression of man to what God can do for us? Can any stand against him? Let me just remind us all of who and what God is. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down. Darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of water were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke. O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. The oppression of man? No problem. Not for God. Our deliverer. Psalm 34, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. And one last scripture. Take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 6. I love reading through the book of Daniel. There's a lot of interesting things, not just this historical account and how wonderful that is, but also the prophetical value in the book of Daniel. But I just like reading sometimes what God did, even in and through heathen king like Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus, and if you will, Darius, however you want to say his name. But I like this in Daniel chapter 6, and of course a childhood favorite of Daniel in the lion's den, the story, right, that we learn in Sunday school. But it has to do with God delivering us from the oppression of man. These princes, they wanted Daniel destroyed. They were jealous of him. So they concocted this law to get Daniel killed. That was their intent, yes? Well, here's what happened. Look at verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? I wonder how long of a pause there was. You ever think about these things? I don't know, my mind is just kind of weird, I know that. But I wonder how long, I wonder if Daniel just said, let me just wait for just a few seconds. As he's sitting there petting the lion. Nice kitty. Then said Daniel to the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much before him the innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take up Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel. That's the oppression of man. He's about to be delivered from it. He cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth. He worketh wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Well, I think there's no question that God does love us. He does look upon us. He is merciful unto us. He wants our steps ordered by his word, so that iniquity cannot have dominion over us. And he is there to deliver us from the oppression of man. And we will keep his precepts. Why? Because he's God. And we're his people. And this is the wonderful word of God.